How do you feel when you see the news and you see so much injustice? After all, there's so much poverty, inequality, abuse of power, exploitation. And so when I see the news, one of the things I often see is the theme of justice. We start movements like Me Too and Black Lives Matter. We want justice. But it's not just justice that we want. We also want freedom. Freedom from debt, from unhealthy relationships, from the need to work. We want freedom to live life however we want. We want freedom. Are those things possible? Can we have genuine justice and freedom? Now, justice and freedom, they are things that people across all different ages, across different generations, they've wanted those things. And it was true even 3,000 years ago, back when Isaiah wrote the passage that we read just then. They wanted justice and freedom as well. Isaiah's book is really big. It's got 66 chapters. It covers a wide period of time and multiple audiences. And the passage we're looking at now, his audience are the Israelites in exile. See, yet they had been taken out of their homeland and into Babylon. These Israelites, they're living under the harsh rule of the Babylonians. So they want justice. Justice from all the suffering, the pain that the Babylonians had inflicted on them. And they want freedom. Freedom from these Babylonians. Freedom to live life however they wanted. So today, we're looking at a prophecy from Isaiah about a servant who will bring justice and freedom. Now, there are actually four prophecies in Isaiah about the servant. Some people call them the servant songs. This Sunday, we'll look at the first servant song, and next Sunday, we'll look at the fourth servant song. Well, in this first servant song, we'll look at the passage in 3 points. See if we can get it up on the screen. 3 points. The first is the servant's identity. Secondly, we'll see that the servant brings justice and freedom. And then we'll think about how the servant brings justice and freedom. Servant's identity, the servant brings justice and freedom. Then we'll think about how the servant brings justice and freedom. Let's start with point one, the servant's identity. Now, it would be good to have your Bibles open to Isaiah 42 as we look at this passage. And in this section, Isaiah has written down what God has spoken. So it's God speaking through this passage. Look with me at the first half of verse one. This is God speaking. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. So what do we know about this servant so far? Well, he's God's servant. He hasn't appointed himself. No, God has chosen him. And God is pleased with this servant. But if we stop there, that's pretty vague. God has chosen a lot of people. Lots of people serve God. So I'm going to show you specifically who this servant is. And I think that will be helpful as we think about the rest of this servant song. I'll put up on the screen a passage from Matthew 12. It might be a bit small, so I'll also read it out for us. It's shortly after Jesus performs a miracle. And the Pharisees, they're jealous. They conspire to get him. I'm going to read it out and see if you can hear anything familiar. Let's read Matthew 12, 15 to 21. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. Can you see what's happening in this passage? Matthew has directly quoted our Isaiah passage. Matthew's showing us that it's Jesus who fulfills this servant song. Jesus is the servant. And there are other passages in Isaiah that refer to this servant and the Gospels, refer to these passages to show that it's Jesus. These other passages, well, we'll look at one of them next week, but all together they show us that Jesus is the servant. So keep that in the back of your mind as we read through our Isaiah passage. The original Israelite audience, they wouldn't have known that it's specifically Jesus. But as we keep Jesus in our mind, that'll help us to understand this passage better. And it'll help us to understand Jesus better as well. We're at point two, servant brings justice and freedom. Let's look together at the second half of verse one. We'll go up to verse four. Second half of verse one. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout, cry out, or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth the justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. So did you see what's promised of this servant? He will bring justice. It's at the end of verse 1. The servant will bring justice to the nations. At the end of verse 3, the servant brings forth justice. Now, sometimes we think of a court judge when we think of justice. A judge brings justice with authority, with the power of the law behind them. Or we might think of the police. I know that police sometimes don't act justly, but when they do, they bring justice with authority. Sometimes they use physical means like handcuffs or tasers. Is that what this servant is like? Well, you'll see in this passage that this servant brings justice in a different way to the court judge and the police. See, the servant brings justice without aggression. He brings justice peacefully. That's in verse 2. He doesn't shout or cry out or raise his voice. And the servant brings justice in gentleness. Verse 3. Even the frailest of things, like a bruised reed or a smoldering wick, he treats even the frailest of these things with gentleness. And the servant brings justice in faithfulness. Second half of verse 3. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. And the servant also brings justice with perseverance. Verse 4, he doesn't give up. No, he perseveres until his work is done, until he has established justice on the earth. This servant, he isn't like the court judge or the police. He brings justice in peace, in gentleness, in faithfulness, and perseverance. This servant brings justice. But that's not all. The servant also brings freedom. Let's look together at verses 5 to 9. Verses 5 to 9. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. In this section, God is speaking to his servant. Like a master commands his servant, God commands his servant to do his will. And what is his will? That the servant would bring freedom. It's in verse 6. God makes his servant into a covenant for his people. That might be a bit confusing at first glance, but basically a covenant is an agreement between two parties. In this passage, that covenant, that specific agreement, it might be a bit unclear. Some people think it's about God's covenant with Abraham. Back in Genesis 12, God promised to Abraham that all people would be blessed through him. So perhaps the servant is like this covenant, that all people would be blessed through this servant. Verse 6 also shows that the servant is made into a light. A light reveals truth. It frees people from living in darkness. And it's not just a light for Israel, but also for the Gentiles as well. His servant will bring truth to all the nations. Verse 7 has even more freedom language. It's quite poetic. The servant opens the eyes of the blind. He frees those who are imprisoned. This is the servant who brings freedom. Now, this servant song, it's quite poetic. It's a prophecy about a servant who will bring justice and freedom. And with all of its poetic language, we might be a bit unclear about the details. We might be left wondering, what kind of justice is this? What kind of freedom is this? And how does it happen? Now, the good news is that we do have the rest of the Bible to help us to answer those questions. So we'll look at that now. We're at point 3, how the servant brings justice and freedom. We saw at the start of this talk that the servant is Jesus. And the Bible shows us that the greatest display of Jesus bringing justice and freedom, the greatest display of that is at the cross. Jesus brings justice and freedom at the cross. Let's talk about one at a time. We'll start with justice. See, justice requires that all sin, all evil must be accounted for. All sin must be accounted for. It happens, for example, with the small things. Well, last year, sadly, I drove through this red line and I had to pay a fine. I wasn't too happy about that, but justice was served. And that's a good thing. If anyone could just drive through red lights, our roads wouldn't be very safe at all. And it happens with the bigger things as well. If someone's convicted of murder, they might be sentenced to a lifetime in prison. All sin, all evil must be accounted for. Otherwise, there wouldn't be justice. And that will happen on Judgment Day. Jesus will return to judge, and all sin will be accounted for. Now, if all sin will be accounted for, and at the same time we know that God forgives his people, well, how does that work? How can God forgive his people if all sin must be accounted for? There must be justice. And that justice is seen at the cross. I'll put up a passage from the New Testament. It's Romans 3, 25 to 26. And it's a passage that shows us the cross. Jesus, as the servant, brings justice by taking our sin and dying in our place. I'll read out Romans 3, 25 to 26. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness. That's the same word for justice. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed before unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying that the death of Jesus is a demonstration of justice. See, there were sins committed that had been left unpunished, and sins must be punished. So it's on the cross where Jesus takes the punishment of our sins. Jesus took the punishment for our sins, as he died on the cross. Jesus, as God's servant, brought justice. And Jesus brought freedom as well. I'll put up another passage from Romans. We saw in Romans 3, Jesus bringing justice. And now in Romans 6, we'll see Jesus bringing freedom. I'll read out verses 6 to 8. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. See, Jesus has died on the cross. And because we're united with Jesus, it's like we too have died. And because we've died, we've been set free from slavery to sin. And that means that instead of living a life stuck in sin, instead of being bound to doing what displeases God, we have freedom. genuine freedom to do what is right. We have freedom to live our lives for God. And because we've been set free from sin, means that we will also live with Jesus. That's verse 8. We will have eternal life with Jesus after this temporary broken life here on earth. We will be able to spend eternity with Jesus. Eternity with Jesus is the amazing result of freedom from sin. Something the Bible speaks so positively about. Eternity with Jesus will be perfect. No more death, no more mourning or crying or pain. Instead, we will have full and complete joy. We will be one people, all worshiping God together. So Jesus, the servant, he brings us freedom, a freedom from slavery to sin, and freedom to live a godly life, a freedom that gives us eternal life. Jesus is the servant who brings justice and freedom. So what does all of this mean for us? Well, I think it means that we should entrust ultimate justice and freedom to Jesus. We should leave justice and freedom ultimately in the hands of Jesus. See, there will be times of injustice in our lives. They're temporary. So we'll do what we can in the meantime, whether that's raising awareness for things, writing to your local MP, donating to causes. Our servant song here in Isaiah, it doesn't promise an immediate justice. It doesn't promise that every wrong will be made right the next day. No, Jesus brought justice at the cross. Jesus took the punishment for our sins by dying on the cross so that we could be forgiven. And Jesus will bring justice when he returns. On Judgment Day, all sin will be accounted for. We should entrust ultimate justice to Jesus. And that's true for freedom as well. This passage, it doesn't promise immediate freedom. So in the meantime, there might be things we want freedom from. You might want freedom from debt. And so you'll do what you can to remove it. Freedom from certain unhealthy relationships, freedom from work. There are some things that we might not be able to find freedom from right now, but you can do what is appropriate in trying to find your freedom in those areas. And yet, it's Jesus who brings us ultimate freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom into eternal life. We should entrust ultimate freedom to Jesus. Many of us have been following the news about the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and that seems like a massive injustice. People are in outrage against Russia for war crimes, abduction of children, genocide, so much more. People want justice. Last month, the International Criminal Court issued arrest warrants for Putin. People want justice. Now, what would happen if Putin was actually arrested? Well, there would be some justice, but it wouldn't be ultimate justice. On Judgment Day, when Jesus returns, he will bring ultimate justice. Jesus will be the judge. He will know of Putin's actions. He will know of everything that has happened in Putin's life. And he will give to Putin exactly what he deserves, ultimate justice. And as far as I know, Putin doesn't trust in Jesus. But if one day he was to trust in Jesus, then even he would be forgiven. And that's because his sins have been taken by Jesus on the cross. Jesus has taken his punishment. And there has been true justice at the cross. So if Putin trusts in Jesus, then he too would be forgiven. He would have the greatest freedom from slavery to sin, and freedom to eternal life. And as I say that, perhaps there might be a bit of discomfort or even outrage. See, Putin's a murderer. How can someone forgive him? But as we look within ourselves, we see that we too have fallen short. We've all turned away from God. We've all sinned. Whether it's lying or lashing out in anger or lusting over someone or being selfish, we've all sinned. And so we all need forgiveness. That forgiveness has been won for us at the cross. True justice has come with Jesus taking our sin and dying in our place. So anyone can be forgiven through Jesus. That includes me. That includes you. Anyone can be forgiven through Jesus. Anyone can experience that freedom, freedom from slavery to sin, and freedom into eternal life. So let's keep entrusting justice and freedom to Jesus. He is God's chosen servant who brings justice and freedom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have chosen your servant Jesus. We thank you so much that he brings true justice and freedom. Thank you that we've seen this at the cross. Thank you that in justice he has taken on our sins and died. Thanks that he has brought us freedom from slavery to sin, freedom into eternal life. So we pray that you'd help us to trust in him. We pray that you'd help us to leave ultimate justice and freedom in his hands. In his name, amen.